Isn't God good? Amen. You may be seated. Paco Rot, Buona Safiwe, Eko Pene, Gloria a Dios. Praise God. Amen. We are so happy to be here with you, to share with you our burden for Uganda and what God is doing. Truly, we are still living in the book of Acts. Most books have an ending in the Bible, but the book of Acts does not end. We are still living today in the book of Acts. The things that happened in the chapters written in the Holy Bible, they're still happening today because we are the church. Amen. Hallelujah. And I'm happy today to say that in Uganda, the church is still alive. Though Idi Amin killed 1 million people trying to stamp out the church has been through the flood and has been through the fire and is still alive today. Hallelujah. You cannot kill off the church. Idi Amin's in the ground, but the church is on fire for Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. We have the PowerPoint coming. There we go. Let's go to the next slide. You all know where Uganda is? It's in Africa, East Africa. And we have Kenya on the north, on the east, South Sudan on the north, Congo on the west, Rwanda, Tanzania, Lake Victoria on the south. 38 million people, 57 tribes, 57 languages. English is the official language. We can handle a little bit of English. Amen. Praise God. But we work with translators every service, at least one, if not two or three, because it's important to communicate the word of the Lord. Amen. Well, before we start, I want to have my wife come, and she will share with you what she does. She works very hard with the children and the youth of Uganda.
Praise the Lord. It is so good to be in the house of God. Amen. I'm so glad that the God we serve is a miracle-working God, not only in Uganda, but also in America. I'm so glad that I have a living Savior. Some men trust in horses, some men trust in chariots, but I trust in the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it, and they are safe. Praise the Lord. In the country of Uganda, in order to register your church, you have to do a humanitarian project. You have to do a school, an orphanage, or a hospital, clinic. The missionaries before us set up a school, so that's my job. I'm a director of three schools, a nursery school, a primary school, and a secondary school. I have had over 1,000 students this year because of elections of the president and also because of mobilization, which means the government comes in and tears down your house without notice. Some of my students have had to shift or move and they are not able to come, but we have over 800 this year. And nothing in Africa is free. If you go to school, you have to pay school fees. And so I have these children, and many of them are from different countries. I have 19 different countries in my school. Why 19 countries? Because Uganda takes in refugees, and I have many refugee students. I'm thankful for that. Probably 70% of my students are Muslim students. That's because of the community we live in, and they get to choose where they want to go to school. But the one picture that we have of all the students in the blue uniform somewhere is a picture of the secondary school in, that's Sunday school, it's the one before. The other way, anyway, it doesn't matter, yes. They're in chapel every Wednesday. It's mandatory. If you come to an apostolic school, you have to go to chapel where you are taught the word of God. Repentance, baptism in Jesus' name, and receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. Since February, we've had 52 young people baptized in the name of Jesus and received the gift of the Holy Ghost. Seven of these were young Muslim girls, and I'm thankful that God is blessing us. I just want to say one thing. I also teach Sunday school. Sunday school is very different. It's usually out underneath a tree because we don't have facilities like this. Even my school isn't like this. I mean, you are so blessed. You young people need to be grateful that you live in America and you have the opportunity to go to school. You need to do the best you can do so you can be the best you can be for Jesus. Amen? So anyway, I teach Sunday school, and every time I go to the village and teach Sunday school, I always take a coloring sheet and a color crayon, and probably 95% of the time, that is the first time that child ever had a piece of paper or had a color crayon. Oh, we need to be grateful for what God has blessed us with, most of all with His presence. And I just pray that God blesses you and anoints you as you work in your mission field. God bless.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, I want to talk a little bit about our projects. If we get the pictures up, we might be a little bit out of order. Talk to you about church houses. It's very important to build churches in Uganda. As Pastor Kyle said, we started with 31 churches in 2007. End of last year, we had 876. Many times when you go into a village, people don't understand who you are or what you are because there are so many corrupt people. But when you build a building, people know you're there to stay. You're not going to leave. And the church immediately doubles, triples, quadruples. And people come to the house of God to see what is happening. Because usually that building is the nicest building in the whole village. And even in the trading centers, our buildings are very nice. And something happens when people walk into an apostolic church. You know, Africans are very spiritual people because they grow up in the village under an atmosphere of witchcraft. And they're very sensitive to spiritual things. Now, you know, witchcraft is a dark bondage. It is fear that controls the lives of people. It is not a good thing. You know, witchcraft is the worship of Satan and evil spirits. But when you walk in into apostolic church, you feel the Spirit of God. It is not fear. It is not bondage. It is not a bad thing. But it is love, and it is peace, and it is joy. And something grabs hold of their hearts, and they say, "This is what I want. This is what I want to have in my life." And they come and they receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. That's why the church grows and so many people come from other villages to see what is happening, to see the miracle. And of course, they get the Holy Ghost. And the pastors are able to start branch churches in all the villages around them. And we continue to grow that way also. We also have a project for Bibles. Bibles in Africa are very difficult to find. They're very expensive for the pastors. I said 57 tribes, 57 languages. We have only Bibles in only 21 of those languages. I have pastors that on Tuesday night, they invite all the pastors around them to come, and they will be able to read one of the languages. And the other pastors are writing in their language. They're writing their own Bible so they can minister and preach the word of the Lord. I had a pastor that won his neighboring pastor, baptized him in the name of Jesus, went to his church, baptized the whole congregation. And while he was there, he found that the pastor had no Bible. So he took his Bible and ripped it in half and gave his new friend half of his Bible, not knowing if he would ever himself ever have a whole Bible again. Of course, when I found out about it, I went and saw him, and I gave him a new Bible, and I says, I will trade you. You give me half Bible, I will give you whole Bible. And it is one of my treasures today. It is something that I value very much because it speaks of the love of a man for the Word of God, that his friend could preach the word of the Lord, that people could be saved. Amen. So $10 helps us to buy a Bible in their language so they can read it. Because of our growth, many of our pastors come, they don't have Bibles. So I've estimated that somewhere around 30% of my pastors do not even own a Bible. How can you pastor without a Bible? Well, it's very difficult. And so we want to be able to hand them a Bible and say, "Preach the word, brother." Amen? Yes. Amen. Our biggest project that we're working on this deputation is to buy land so we can have our own Bible college campus. Right now, we are having Bible school at the secondary school. We got two little rooms, one a dormitory, one a classroom. But we're crowded out. Right now, this semester, we have 27 students. Now, thank God for them. But we don't have any room. So we need to have a facility where we can train 100, 200 students in the Word of the Lord. Amen. We have grown substantially. From 3,000 to 182,612 in 8.5 years. Well, that growth is not sustainable if you don't have a good foundation. You have to have ministers that are trained in the Word of the Lord, that are spiritual men, that are mature men that know the Word of the Lord. So how do you get those men trained? Bible school. By pulling them out of their culture. And teach them the Word of God and get it into their hearts so they get on fire for Jesus and send them back out to evangelize and pastor and turn Uganda upside down. So we have been raising funds. We've raised close to $150,000 in about 4 months, but I still need $60,000. We have found property. It's got buildings. It's got water wells. It's got electric. It's got a kitchen, it's got a dining hall, it's got a fence, it's got everything we need to just move in and start Bible school. No waiting. Hallelujah. Praise God. So if you can help us with that, we'd appreciate that so very much. We have to have young men trained in the Word of the Lord. Brother Job, one of our students, went home from first semester back to his village during the break. He got to his village just in time to go to prayer meeting. Now, we teach our pastors in our churches that every Friday night is overnights, overnight prayers. Hallelujah. It's very dangerous to be out at dark in Africa and Uganda. So you come before the sun sets and you don't leave till the sun comes up on Saturday morning. And you sing and you worship and you pray, you preach. And you have a good time in the Lord. People get the Holy Ghost. You even baptize people. You have revival. Hallelujah. So Brother Job got home after a long bus ride just in time to go to prayer meeting. Hallelujah. Praise God. He went to the prayer meeting and they said, "Oh, here is our Bible college student. Please teach us a small lesson." So Brother Job taught a small lesson. From midnight Friday night till 3 o'clock Saturday morning. You got that one, eh? Small lesson. Well, when you got church for 7-8 hours, 3 hours is not bad. Hallelujah. Well, the end result of that was that 26 people got the Holy Ghost. 11 people were baptized in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. That's what I want. I want young men on fire for God. I want them to know the word of the Lord and preach without fear or favor and turn their village upside down. That Jesus is king and master over that village. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. We had three young ladies that are day students right now in our Bible school. And you know, in Africa, the ladies and the men are different cultures. And the men don't respect the women like they should and so forth. And so I was a little concerned about that. So I called back and talked to the director and I said, "How are the boys relating to the girls in Bible school?" He said, "Oh, no problem, Pastor, no problem." And I said, "Well, what is happening?" He said, "Well, Dahlia just preached in chapel today. And she was anointed. And she preached the word of God. And every one of those boys was on their face on the floor crying out to the Lord." I want people, men and women, full of fire, full of the Holy Ghost, to preach the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 It is Jesus that changes lives. It is Jesus that takes care of their problems. It is Jesus that answers their prayers. And Uganda is a very poor country. We've had trouble for many, many years, 60 years of wars. And so people have suffered so much. And every day your heart will break because people are asking for things and you see the needs of people, but you don't have the money to help everyone. You can't afford to give people things. The greatest thing a missionary can do is not give money or things or school fees or whatever, but is to give them Jesus. Because when they have Jesus, they can cry out to the Lord, and the Lord will answer their prayers. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you are in your house and you have no food and you cry out to the Lord, Jesus, please send us some food today. The children are going to die. And Jesus sends a neighbor with a little food. You say, thank you, Lord. And the next day there's no food, so you cry out to the Lord again, and God answers your prayer, and another neighbor comes and brings a little, and you thank God. You see, you have to learn to walk by faith. And when God answers your prayers and God hears your cry, your faith grows and gets strong in the Lord, and you can trust God for miracles, and you can trust God for healings. And you can trust God for whatever your needs are in your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Uganda, many times when we go start churches or have open air meetings, God moves on people. And we see miracles. And we see wonders. Not for the glory of men, but that people's hearts can be moved towards God. And as in the book of Acts, the apostolic method, that God moves and someone is healed. Oh, there is a miracle. And the people wonder, what is happening? Who is doing this? And an apostle, an apostolic preacher, stands up and says, it is not us, it is not our church or our religion, but it is Jesus. It is Jesus that hears the cry. It is Jesus that is the healer. It is Jesus that is the miracle worker. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And when people see a miracle, who is going to deny that? In Africa, the village is an extended family, eh? Everybody knows everybody's business. There are no secrets. And when someone is healed, everybody knows. Had a lady. There had been no rain in Melange for quite a while, and their gardens were dying. And so she went to the garden with her children and said, Jesus, look at my garden. Look at me and my children. If there is no rain, we are going to die. Lord, you know I am always faithful. I am always in the house of God. I always pay my tithings. Please, Jesus, send rain to my garden. She turns around and starts walking back to the village. And as she was walking, a boy working in his garden comes running and said, sister, sister, come quick. It is raining on your garden. No clouds. And she comes to her garden and it's raining. But it's not raining on that garden. Or that one. Or that one. Or that one. But it was raining on her garden. For she said, let it rain on my garden. What do you think those people in that village said? That woman, she has a powerful God. That woman's prayers are answered. I need a God like that. I need to go to that church. I need to be his child. Hallelujah. And God, through his wonders and his miracles, brings people's hearts to him in repentance where they are baptized in the name of Jesus. Amen? Hallelujah. And filled with the power of the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Our growth in Uganda has been through several areas. We work very much with children. We work very much with young people. We have campus ministries. In the last 2 months, 17 university students have received the gift of the Holy Ghost, been baptized in the name of Jesus. Amen. We're in three universities and one other high school in Kampala besides my wife's, and we're branching out into other high schools. We also, 3 weeks out of every month, we go out to the bush. We go to our churches, and they know I'm coming 6 to 8 months ahead of time, so they're well aware. They organize the food. They organize inviting everyone. We call it mobilization. They mobilize people to come to church, to the seminar. I teach Thursdays, Fridays, Saturday mornings, and Sundays. We teach on Thursdays repentance. What is repentance? A change of life. It is more than just being sorry, but changing your life through the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. That afternoon, we teach on baptism. Each lesson takes 3 or 4 hours. that baptism is in the name of Jesus Christ in much water. A little water is not baptism. Huh? For the Bible says we are buried with him in baptism. One time we were immersing people in baptism, and people standing around got very afraid and called the police. And they say, we are killing people. They had never seen baptism before. The police came to arrest us. And we said, no, brother, no. We are doing Bible baptism. So they stood there and watched us make sure we weren't killing anyone. Hallelujah. Friday morning, we teach on the Holy Ghost. We teach on one God. We teach on organization. We teach on leadership. We teach on family life. We are apostolics. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one wife. Well, I got a few amens and a few chuckles. In Uganda, you can have 4 wives. Just imagine, 4 times the trouble. No, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say that. But an apostolic church, we believe in ones. One God, one wife. And of course, there's a lot of issues and a lot of problems that are different than America that we teach on to help people have strong spiritual families. Amen. Then we also have a session on questions and answers, because most of the men and people have very little education. I allow them to ask any question they want. When they ask the question, I always take the answer from the scripture. I will open the English Bible, and I will answer them through the scripture. I will read it in English. They will read it in their language, whether it's Swahili, Lutoro, Luganda, Madi, Insambia, Bugisu, whatever. Because I want them to know the answer comes from the Word of God. It does not come from a white man. It does not come from an American. It does not come from a missionary, but it comes from God. And when you have the word from God, you must obey. You must receive it into your life. Hallelujah. So by the end of that week of teaching on Sunday, I will say to them, now you have heard me teach. You have heard me preach. You have heard me answer all your questions. Now you must obey. You must be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. Now, on these seminars, the pastors always invite all the area pastors and churches, and we've had as few as 3 Trinitarian pastors and as many as 28 come through the whole week of sessions. This last week, they just had one in Hoima area. And they had 5 pastors, Trinity pastors, that are getting ready to be baptized in the name of Jesus. In the last 8.5 years, we have baptized over 700 Trinitarian pastors because of revelation, the Spirit of God that will speak to their hearts and say, this is the truth. Amen. Now, we don't keep all of them, but we keep about 85% of them. Amen. We work with them. And we teach them, we encourage them, and we come together, and they get excited about this message. Amen. Amen? Matthew chapter 11, John the Baptist asked Jesus a question. Are you the one? Or should we look for someone else? Are you the Messiah? Are you the visitation of our God? Are you God in flesh? Or should we look for someone else? Jesus turned to those disciples of John and said, "You go back and tell John again. The blind see, the lame walk. Amen. The deaf hear, the lepers are cleansed, the dead are raised, the gospel is preached, that Jesus has given us an apostolic ministry. He said that greater things than this shall you do. That through the power of the Holy Ghost, you can preach the Word of God. You can teach a home Bible study. You can pray with your neighbor or your family. And God will do something. The Spirit of God will move on their hearts and lives. That they will say, yes, I need more of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We were in Palombe starting a church, and after we preached, we invited people to come, and the power of God was there in a special way. And I told them that if you are sick in body, you come. Jesus will heal you. You come stand this side. So they came. I said, if you want the power of God in your life, if you want the Spirit of Jesus to live inside of you, you come stand this side. The pastors came. We began to pray with people. An old lady came and she stood in the middle. And when hands were laid on her, and she began to scream and yell and shout and dance and worship God and ran around that church. I asked the presbyter, I said, hey, what is wrong with that woman? He said, oh, she was blind. But when she was prayed for, God opened her eyes. And now she is going to people saying, Jesus is my God. Jesus is my healer. Hallelujah. 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 Sister Gladys was a pastor's wife of a charismatic man in Kampala. She was not apostolic. The husband was unfaithful. He got AIDS. Of course, he gave AIDS to Sister Gladys. In Africa, when you are dying, when you are very, very sick and close to death, you're sent to the village to die because you are buried on your own land. There are no graveyards in the cities. So she was sent to the village to die. But thank God the neighbor was an apostolic lady. She went to her pastor and said, please come pray for my neighbor. She is dying of AIDS. So he came and found her laying on her sleeping mat on the floor in a coma, almost dead. He kneels beside her and begins to pray. After 3 hours, she comes to, and they begin to discuss her soul because she was dying. As the pastor was talking to her, God spoke to him and said, tell her if she wants to go to heaven, she must forgive her husband. So he told her, you want to go to heaven? Forgive your husband. She said, no. How can I forgive him? He has killed me. He has given me this disease. He was unfaithful to me. I cannot forgive him. And they talked for a while, and finally the pastor said, let's pray. Let's pray and ask God to help you to forgive your husband so you can go to heaven. And so they begin to pray, and after a while, with tears running down her face, still laying on the floor, he heard the words, I forgive my husband. I forgive him for killing me. I forgive him for being unfaithful. When she forgave her husband, God immediately healed her of AIDS. Not only healed her, but gave her body strength that she got up off of her deathbed and begin to serve the pastor some fresh water. Hallelujah. We serve a mighty God. We serve a miracle-working God. Hallelujah. 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 There is power in forgiveness. When you forgive, there is a liberty and a freedom that comes to your life. There is healing in forgiveness. bitterness and anger and all those bad things will destroy you. But when you forgive, it releases freedom in your life and puts you in right relationship with God. And the peace of God will come into your life. Truly, it is a grace of God. It is a miracle of God. Forgiveness, the power of forgiveness. Amen? Amen? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Right before we came home in February for deputation, we were in a seminar way out in the mountains. We drove to the end of the road, to the end of the path, end of the path, across the fields. Finally, we couldn't go anymore. We had to walk a ways. We come to this place and we hold a seminar. We taught Thursday, Friday, Saturday morning. Saturday afternoon, we always have what we call open air service. I want my pastors to understand, you don't stay in the house. You go outside where the people are. You go out and preach and testify, and pass out tracts, bring people to church, pray for them. Amen. So we preach. And in open airs in Uganda, we preach for an hour, maybe 2 hours. Hallelujah. Sometimes I preach 2 hours, have an hour altar service, and sit down, drink my water, and the pastor comes and says, "Oh, pastor, please, you must come preach again. We're still hungry. We're still hungry for the word of God." Sometimes they come the third time, "Pastor, we're still hungry." Hallelujah. Oh, we need a hunger for the things of God. We need God more than anything else in our lives. Well, we preach for about an hour, and then we invite people to come to pray for them. And this lady comes, and she's dragging her firstborn son. He's about 7, 8 years old, but he was crippled. He couldn't walk. And so she was dragging him across the rocks and the dirt and the grass and the soil and everything. And so we gathered around her and prayed for her and prayed for little John. And then the rains came, and we were running around trying to get the PA system and things put away. And so she picks up her boy, and she lived 3 kilometers away and started walking home. Little John was a pretty good-sized kid, and so she got tired after a while, and so she sits him down on the ground to rest. When she sits him down, he takes off running. Never walked, never had ran. But something had happened. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sometimes when you are prayed for, it doesn't happen now. But the name has been called over you. The anointed name of Jesus Christ. It might take some hours. It might take some days. It might take some weeks. That name has been called upon you. Amen. Don't give up. Keep your trust and your faith in the Lord. Do not allow doubt and fear to steal your miracle. Do not allow doubt to take away the blessing of God in your life. Hallelujah. The angel told Daniel, "God heard you the first day. It just took me 21 days to get here." But Daniel didn't feel anything, but he just kept praying. He kept believing God. He kept asking God till the answer came. Sometimes we lose our miracle. We lose our healing because we just quit. But our faith has to keep saying, "My God is a healer. My God is a miracle worker. My God is able. He is worthy. Hallelujah. I give him glory. I will lift him up. Jesus will answer my prayer." Hallelujah. The next day was Sunday, so we came to church, and she was sitting on the front, and she says, "I have testimony." So she came, and with little John walking up there, she said, "I am here to give Thanksgiving offering." She pulls out a big wad of money out of her purse. Now, in Africa, when God does something special for you, you are thankful. Amen. So she's giving a Thanksgiving offering. Now, in Uganda, in the church, everybody wants to be blessed. So they want to contribute to get in on the blessing. Not the spirit of do nothing, but we got to do something to get the blessing of God.
Amen.
So we take an offering. Guess who took the offering? Little John. He had the basket, big old smile on his face, collecting the thanksgiving offering of his healing.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. After the service, I went up to the sister and I said, "Sister, where did you get all that money?" I was afraid she stole it someplace, you know. It was about 3 years worth of money for someone in the village. It was a lot of money. She said, "I have been saving this money for a long time because I have been looking for the best witch doctor to heal my boy, but I never could find one. But yesterday, I found the best doctor." Hallelujah. I found my Jesus. Hallelujah. There is no one like Jesus. There is no one like my Jesus. That Jesus is my healer. Jesus is my provider. Jesus is my victory. Everything that I am or have is in Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. About 2 years ago, we were teaching a seminar in the west of Uganda. And of course, I didn't know, but let me back up on the story a little bit. In Uganda, the witchcraft is has a tight hold on many people. The police find thousands of mutilated bodies of children and youth that had been offered as human sacrifices to witch doctors. And so this man had a daughter named Sifa, and he wanted prosperity in his business. So he sold her to the witch doctor so he could be prosperous. When she found out about it, she didn't want to die. She ran away. The only place she could think of to go where it would be safe was the Apostolic Church. Because she had a friend that was apostolic and had brought her to church 2 times over the years. How important is it to bring your friends and family to church where they can feel the power of God, where they can feel the Holy Ghost? Amen. So she ran to the church. You know, this is a church, but it's also a sanctuary where we are safe in the peace of God. Well, it just so happened I was teaching a seminar, and as our practice is, when I finish a lesson, we always have altar call, and we invited all the people to come. And of course, the ladies are on this side, men on this side. And so the pastors came and began to pray with people, and people were worshiping, people were being healed. People were receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. People were dedicating their lives. And I was over here working my way this way. And when I laid hands on Sifa, she fell to the ground. Well, we teach our people in Uganda, don't fall on the ground. Because the charismatics teach that if you fall under the power of God, that's the Holy Ghost. That's not the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is when you speak with other tongues. So we teach people, when you feel the power and you feel your knees getting weak, don't fall. Just yield your mouth and speak words you don't know. Speak in a language you have not learned. That's the Holy Ghost. Amen. Well, she fell. It's okay. And so we kept praying with people probably another hour or so. And when I sat down to drink some water, because it was hot, I noticed that the ladies had taken Sifa and dragged her up on the platform. And they were around her, and they were just praying. And they got louder and louder. And when the pastor walked by me, I said, "Hey, what's happening there?" He said, "Oh, that's that girl that fell." I said, "Yeah, yeah. But what's going on there? Well, when she fell, she died. I said, what? Yeah. When she fell to the ground, she died. She is dead. I said, no. That is impossible. No, she is dead. That's why they're praying for her. We have called the police. They are coming. We have called her family. They are coming. She is dead. I said, no. When people come to Apostolic Church and get prayed for, they don't die. They get the Holy Ghost. They get healed. They can't die. He said, she is dead. I said, well, this is not good. Hallelujah. This is not good at all. I told you there are no secrets. If people found out someone came to church, got prayed for, and died, no one's going to come to church. We got to do something. Call all the pastors. Let's call all the people of faith. So there were about 120 people around her praying, seeking God, that God would turn this tragedy into a victory. 4 hours later, the family had come, and they were sitting on the front row, screaming and yelling, blaming everyone. 4 hours later, through the faith of the church, Cephas sits up. As I looked at her and I looked at the family, I could tell they couldn't see her because of all the people around her. But when Cephas stood up, they saw her. They knew she was dead, but now she was alive. They lost it. They ran from the church screaming. Well, here's the rest of the story. If Cephas had just come to church, been blessed, and gone home, they would have killed her. They would have finished the human sacrifice. But because when she was in the church, God took her life and then gave it back to her through the faith of the church in front of her father, of her mother, aunts and uncles, to show his power. The father, who was a big Muslim, said, your God is a powerful God. Your God is a mighty God. My God can only take life. But your Jesus, he's a life giver. Hallelujah. My Jesus is a life giver tonight. That whatever we need in our lives, Jesus is the answer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Cephas is still alive today. She's still going to church because my Jesus is a mighty God. Amen. Amen. When things don't look so good, and you think you have been defeated, and you think of all the terrible consequences, keep your faith in God. Keep believing in the Lord. Jesus knows what he's doing. We don't, but he does. And he is working his will. And Jesus will do exactly everything to bring glory to his name. Hallelujah. It is your job and my job to keep our faith in him. Jesus, I believe you. Jesus, my trust is in you. Lord, take away my doubts. Take away my fears. I know that you are the victory. My faith is in you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 No matter what it is in life, our faith can be in Jesus Christ. He will not disappoint us. He will not leave us hanging out, but he will supply our needs according to his riches in glory. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus is a mighty God. Amen. In November last year, we went to Karugutu to start a church. It's on the Congo border, very mountainous, in Turoko District. They're still fighting Muslim terrorists that come across from Congo. Very dangerous place. But people are hungry for God. We taught Thursday, Friday, Saturday morning, Sunday. And as I taught on baptism in the name of Jesus, of course, all our scriptures were read in English. And then my reader in Swahili, which was the common language, was Pastor Simon Gaba. Simon Gaba had been a Trinitarian Pentecostal pastor for over 40 years. He had been an elder, a leader in that area, started many other churches, baptized most of those people. He was about 80 years old. And he read every scripture. When I taught on one God, the mighty God in Christ Jesus, he read every scripture. That night, he testified that God would not let him sleep, but the scriptures kept going through his mind and his heart. That somewhere in the middle of the night, he yielded to revelation and said, truly, this is the right gospel. The next day, he came to the seminar, and I was teaching on something, and we got to the session on questions and answers, and many people asked questions, and finally, about 2 hours into the session, Brother Simon Gaba stands up. He's the Muzay. Muzay means the old man. That's a term of very high respect. And when the Muzay stands up, everybody else sits down. He leaves his seat, and he comes up, and he kneels in front of me on that dirt floor of that little church, tears running down his face. And he said, Pastor, this teaching you have taught, I have never heard. These scriptures are all strange to me. I have read them, but I have never understood them. This doctrine you are teaching us is so good, but I have never heard it in my life. Amen. And after he said a few more things, he looked at me and he pointed and he said, Pastor, why? Why did you wait 40 years? To come tell me the truth. Why did you let me teach a fake gospel for 40 years? Why didn't you come and teach me the word of God? I said, Pastor Simon, I am so sorry. I know God called somebody. I know God called someone to come tell you the truth. But maybe they were afraid of the animals, the jungle, disease, the wars. Maybe they had no money. Maybe no one sent them. Romans tells us, how shall they believe except there is a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? We can't do this by ourselves. You cannot do this by yourself. But it takes both of us to preach the gospel to the whole world. That every Simon Gaba that has a hunger in their heart for truth, for revelation, can say, I believe. For Jesus took Philip out of Samaria and took him to the desert to preach to one African man, the Ethiopian. And he found him reading the Bible. And he asked him, do you understand what you're reading? And he said, how can I? I need someone to explain it to me. We need preachers in the harvest field. We need the Spirit of God to move on hearts that everyone in the world can hear the message of salvation. The gospel must be preached to all nations before the Lord returns. That's the high quality. That is a criteria that Jesus put so high for the church to preach to everyone. Simon Gaba looked at me and he stands up, tears still running down his face. And I said, Simon, I came as soon as I heard. I canceled other things so I could come. And he said, Pastor, thank you. Thank you for coming, for telling me the true doctrine, the right gospel, so I can be saved. He takes his old tattered Swahili Bible and he holds it above his head and he says, this is the true gospel. I will be number one to be baptized in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 We need to reach every person, every family member, every neighbor, every friend that we can reach and share with them the rich gospel of Jesus Christ that can save their souls. I don't want anyone to point at me and say, you never told me. I want to preach. I want to preach. I want to testify. I want to share, for this is the true gospel of salvation. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's stand together. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's pray. I believe God leads us to hungry hearts, that God has prepared someone for you to talk to. Let's ask God to lead our steps to the right person that we can touch them. Jesus, we call on your name tonight, that you would touch our hearts and our lives. Move on us, O Lord.
Let's give the Lord praise for what we've heard here tonight. So many testimonies of miracles, people being filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. I know some of us have given, and I appreciate it. I want to take an offering, a sacrificial offering. And right now, we're going to give now. So if you have a checkbook, get it out and write something that hurts. Do we have a checkbook? We don't have one. Well, my wife and I are going to give $1,000. I don't know where we're going to get it, but we'll find it by tomorrow. Maybe the Lord laid it on one of y'all's heart to give me $1,000 or something. All right, we'll do it. I want to take a sacrificial, so I want you to dig in your purse. I know some of you have already given. I want you to go back in again. I want you to go back in again. Go into your purse and get that McDonald's fish fry and fish and large fry out. I want you to get your checkbooks out. I want you to write $10, $100, whatever the Lord lays on your heart. Some of you could give $1,000. We want to contribute towards this. Yeah, they're going to put it right here in the same basket. We're going to contribute toward this Bible school. Is that what we're trying? Bible school. Still got to raise $60,000. And some here's got $58,000.